And in studio today, I am joined by Maura Lavelle, who is the Marketing and Development Manager for the Children in Hospital Foundation. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
So this year, the organisation is 50 years old. So can you tell me a little bit about the organisation?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, we're Children in Hospital Ireland, and we were founded in 1970 by a woman called Patricia Hemmons. Her child had been in hospital for a number of weeks with tonsillitis, and when he was discharged from hospital, she kind of noticed a marked difference in his behaviour and she was concerned. And around this time, there had been a report in the paper in the Irish Times about the way children were being treated in hospitals. And although the healthcare was really good, it was the way they were being treated like adults and not allowed to have their parents to visit. So this report was in the paper and it didn't get any kind of reaction from the public. There was no letters written in about it. And on the same day, there was a letter actually, or a feature written by Maeve Binchy, and it was about how Irish people, the etiquette of how Irish people drink their tea or eat their supper. And this garnered a huge response in the newspaper. Lots of letters were written in. So I think Patricia Hemmons was just really annoyed, and she wrote in, I suppose, on the spur of the moment and said, are Irish people that concerned about how people, you know, slurp their soup, and yet they're not concerned about how children are being treated in the hospital system? And so from that, the charity was born. A lot of parents then did get in touch with her. They were as concerned as she was, and it was a kind of a kitchen table charity set up in a kitchen, literally, modelled around the Association of Welfare of Children in Hospital in England. So there was a model that they could follow. And I suppose in the early days, like in the 1970s, late 1960s, parents were discouraged from visiting their children. So can you imagine? I mean, it's so different now, obviously. So they lobbied for changes to be made to how children were being treated, so that parents could have not only visiting rights, but that they could stay with their child in hospital, which is absolutely vital when a child is unwell. They did have a lot of medics, paediatric consultants behind them, which really helped their cause, because once the medics were saying, you know, there was a sea change, look, you know, it is important that parents should be with their children. It speeds up the recovery process. It stops them from being, you know, so kind of terrorised in the setting. So they did that. They ensured that there was education programmes brought into the hospitals, because obviously for long-term children, long-term illness, they were going to be missing out developmentally on their education and all sorts of other things. And then they lobbied for paediatric entrances, which is huge, because as if any of your listeners, as I'm sure that, you know, going into a hospital A&E is pretty scary. So to have to bring a child through an adult A&E really isn't what you want. So they lobbied for that. And then obviously they started lobbying for the promotion of play within hospitals, because back in those days, it was kind of children are seen and not heard. And no, too much, you know, cleaning. If you have to bring toys into the hospital, that's going to distract the adults and all of this. So they really, I suppose, for the first 10, 15, 20 years of the organisation, they were real activists, and they did a huge amount of change. And we've an awful lot to be thankful for, you know, today.
Yeah, I know myself that even as an adult sitting in an A&E, it's a very frightening place. So absolutely, to have children that way, that isn't great.
No.
How many hospitals have you got volunteers in?
So today, yeah, we have almost 500 volunteers around the country, which is incredible. And we are in 14 paediatric units in Ireland, which is brilliant. I think there's 18 or 19 hospitals that have a paediatric unit. So we're not in all of them yet, but it is our aim. Due to funding and resources, we will get there. And basically, our volunteers go in every day. So because we've so many volunteers, we're able to put them in mornings, afternoons and evenings and weekends. And what it means is that every volunteer gives up 2.5 hours a week. They're paired with a partner and they literally go in. Now, they could be in an outpatient department, which isn't for everybody. They could be in an emergency unit. They could be on a ward or in a playroom. A lot of the bigger hospitals now have fabulous playrooms, and also a lot of the regional hospitals have beautiful playrooms as well. And sometimes literally there can be a queue until that door opens. You know, the kids are outside waiting for the girls and the men in their red t-shirts to come and open the playroom. So 14 hospitals, and including the new urgent care centre at Blanchardstown, Connolly at Blanchardstown, which is brilliant because often in outpatients there's, you know, and emergency units, there's waiting. So you mightn't be really, really sick, but you're waiting around for a long time. So even just have somebody there to give you some crayons, colouring paper, play a game of cards, makes a huge difference.
That really would be, yeah. What do you think it means to both the parents and the children to have these volunteers and all the work that they do?
Well, you know, it's huge because, like, and our volunteers kind of really feel sometimes, you know, the hospital might be quiet and they don't really feel like, oh God, I wonder, did I do much today? It is huge because for so many people, like, if you think about it, regardless of what the illness is, you know, often a parent has so many other things going on. They've other siblings to manage. They've got a job to do. They've got to maybe go and do the shopping, you know, to bring food into the child or look after their kids at home. So for somebody to be able to come into them and say, listen, go off, you can take an hour, do what you need to do, I'm here. You know, and it's not a nursing staff, it's not a doctor. They have nothing else to do. They are there purely to facilitate play, to chat to the child, whatever that child wants, they're there to be. And it really is huge. And then for the child, obviously, it, like, every child wants to play. So it just normalizes the situation. So they might be in for a broken arm, they might be in, you know, for something much more serious. And to be able to take themselves out of their illness and kind of just get back to normal, what they usually do, it's huge for them. And, you know, there's a lot of evidence that shows that, you know, it's like everything. If you have a good experience, it makes the next time you have to do something so much easier. And like, I've been in a hospital where, down in Cork, sitting in the playroom with the play specialist, when the door opened and this mother comes in with her daughter who was roaring, crying, and I got up to leave. And the mother said, no, it's okay. We're being discharged. We've been here for 5 days and she doesn't want to go home. And she was coming into the playroom to collect all her artwork. So you kind of think, do you know what? If that's the experience, that's amazing for any child,
because, absolutely,
you know, and recovery times do improve. They quicken up. They're not afraid of the doctors. Oftentimes our volunteers will be kind of playing a game with them while the cannula is going in, or when they're getting their temperature taken, so they're not even aware,
distracted them.
Absolutely. So it's huge. Yeah.
So how was the organization founded?
So it was founded because of this lady, Patricia Hemmons. And from that, obviously it was a kind of a small kitchen sink charity, but it grew. So eventually we had branches in Cork, in Galway, in Limerick. And there was all of these. At the time, it was completely voluntary organisation. So mostly women in those days that were just determined to make changes within the hospital. And that's what they did. I mean, they were like literally a dog with a bone in making sure that changes were made.
And how many staff have you got, and how could people get involved in the organisation?
Okay, so we're an organisation. We're small. We've 4.5 staff, or 4 and a bit. I'm kind of a half, and then there's another kind of a half, so it's kind of funny. We obviously manage, our volunteer manager is incredible in that she can manage 500 volunteers around the country. We all do our bit, but it's a huge number. But the volunteers are amazing. So we're based in Dublin, but obviously because we're in the hospitals around the country, we tend to travel around. We do a lot of recruitment in all of the locations. If people want to get involved with us, we have a website, and on the website there's a for volunteers, and that gives all the information of when we are recruiting around the country. So at the moment, I know we will be recruiting shortly in Galway and in Sligo, and I think Kilkenny, and then at the other side of the summer there's other hospitals coming on board. We've just done a recruitment for Dublin and for Drogheda also, and Irish people are amazing. We put out a call for volunteers and they're up, you know, they really sign up. So can I just give you our website address?
Absolutely.
So it's www.childreninhospital.ie. And then people can also send us an email to info@childreninhospital.ie. And I'd like to also say that we are especially delighted when men decide to volunteer with us, because I think when men hear, oh, play volunteer, they think, Asha, we leave that to the girls. Do you know, that's, it's so not the case. And what we want is that to have a diverse volunteer force that reflects the diverse communities within the hospital. Like, boys get sick as well, you know, and it's really nice for boys to have a role model that's like their dad, you know. Oh, dad plays the Wii with me, come on.
Yeah, or to come in and kick a ball around with them.
Absolutely, you know, play whatever. But talk about the latest football match. Now, I know women do that, of course they do. But, you know, we kind of want to get the message out there that it's not just for women. And we do have, probably, I'd say, 9 or 10% of our volunteers are men, but out of 500, that's a very small number. So we'd love to up those numbers. So if there's any guys listening out there, this could be the thing for you.
So we're going to go back to the fact that you are 50 years old this year.
Yes.
So are you doing anything special to mark it?
Yeah, well, we've got a few things planned. Obviously, a lot of it's dependent on funding, and we're always applying for various grants and all of that. But one thing that's really nice is we're working on a memoir to capture the narrative of the organisation over the last 50 years. So actually, if there's any listeners out there that would have been involved in the organisation, we'd love to get in touch with them. So whether that was due to just maybe they might have been fundraising, or they might have even used our services over the years, but, you know, never really thought about us, because often people know the volunteers when they're in the hospital, but because you're out of hospital, you kind of want to shut that memory down, you know. It's that was a time and it's finished anyway. So the memoir is one thing, so people would be delighted to get in touch. I'm at the moment currently driving around the country talking to ex-volunteers, past members and current volunteers, and just gathering stories, and also some parents and ex-patients as well who are willing to talk to us. So it's a really nice project. We will have a volunteer appreciation event every year. We get funding specifically to be able to value our volunteers, and it's really important to us. So it's kind of team building day, and it's a kind of a fun day. And then we're working on launching a conference on the 9th of October. It's going to be a rights based conference, and there'll be a lot more information on our website about that. Yeah, so there is a lot going on actually this year, so it's a really, really nice year for us.
Excellent. So I was just looking at your logo, and it states on it that making hospital a happier place for children through play and advocacy. So can you tell me a little bit of your advocacy work?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, like, the women back in the day started being really advocating for children and getting the voice of the parents heard and the voice of the children to be heard. So today we kind of continue that work through research and running educational programs, and obviously, you know, publishing support literature for parents. So on our website there's lots of information about, you know, documents for they can print off that shows them kind of things like what to do if my child has to go to hospital suddenly, or what do we need to bring. So those kind of things. I suppose our main piece of research that we have literally just launched, the summary findings of, and the launch of the full report will be out in hopefully a month or so. We conducted a survey with parents into the hidden costs of having a child in hospital, because obviously it's a very stressful time, but then with the financial cost implications that it has on a family, it can absolutely worsen the situation. We interviewed over 300 parents of children, parents who had children in long-term sick, or indeed just in and out of hospital on a regular basis, and it really threw up scary figures. I think parents can spend up to €150 a day on costs, hidden costs, like not medical costs. So these are things like car parking charges, which we know is absolutely disgraceful. Food, because, you know, in a hospital sometimes, you know, a lot of the hospital canteens are privately run, so they're not open all day. They might be only open at specific times, and yet you're in there all day and all night.
Then you end up using vending machines.
Vending machines, running out, getting takeaways. Often, you know, the children don't like the hospital food maybe, and you have to go out and get them other stuff, maybe calling Just Eat, that type of thing. And then accommodation. Like, we think Dublin, you think Dublin, but like there's people coming down to Crumlin Hospital or Temple Street from Donegal, and they literally arrive, it's been an emergency, they're down, they've been travelling for hours, and they've got to find somewhere to stay.
And that's very expensive.
Exactly. And then they're often paying their mortgage or their rent where they live. So there's huge costs. And like some of the quotes back from the parents, just anecdotally from the survey, were like, okay, you know, in a sense, you know your child has been taken care of. You know that the medical help you're getting is absolutely brilliant, which it is. But actually, the stress of what they're going to do when they get out of this mess that they're in, and the money that they're going to owe. Like, people go to loan sharks, they borrow from friends and family, they take out loans. I mean, it's really difficult. So those findings are kind of scary, but they're important, and it's up to us then to really advocate and lobby the government to kind of see what changes can be made to help parents.
Absolutely. That's all. The organisation is do brilliant work.
Absolutely.
I would love to thank you for coming in. Is there anything you'd like to tell our listeners before you go?
No, just that. Well, actually, we do have a coffee morning coming up, so we'll be shouting it out far and wide. And we send out a kind of a starter pack of coffee and biscuits. And then we ask people to just have a coffee morning in their house or in their community centre, maybe through the schools. Often they get schools. Some of the kids will bake biscuits and it becomes a kind of a fun event. And the kids know they're doing it to help kids in hospitals. So it kind of full circle, it brings it back to what it means. And like I say, the website is childreninhospital.ie and information can be found there. But we'd love to hear from people by email as well. So if anybody wants to get involved in any capacity, we'd be delighted. So it's info@childreninhospital.ie.
Excellent. And when your coffee morning is coming up, send us the details and we can put it in our community notes.
Oh, thank you very much.
Perfect. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.